All right, Kim Gordon, thanks very much. Steve Bertrand here. It is a Friday, the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. A little bit later, we're going to talk about domain names. And I know these guys have been making the rounds a little bit, but the domain name Illinois.com is up for sale. They're expecting people to pay tens of millions of dollars. So we'll talk to Lou Weisbach about that a little bit later on the Business Lunch. If anyone's going to spend tens of millions of dollars for the Illinois.com domain name, well, I'm thinking it's Andrea Haines, the editor of Blue Sky and the Chicago Tribune.
Would I want the Illinois.com?
I don't know. That's kind of a question, isn't it? I mean, they talk about how LasVegas.com went for $90
million.
Yep. I can see that. I don't know what Illinois.com... I was talking, and I'll ask Lou about this on the program, and I don't want to spend too much time on it here, but, you know, I don't find anything strictly by their domain name, right? If I want to find something, I'm Googling it.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what the value is, but we'll kick that around. All right, so Andrea's in the studio, and we talked to her about Blue Sky Innovation and things involved there. A number of stories I want to touch on with you, but first of all, you guys did, once again, you've done it before, like the 50 coolest things you found in Chicago offices.
We do. We do weekly slideshows of offices just to get into some of these cool spaces and see how people are setting up cool meeting spaces and decorating and all those kinds of things. And once a year we do the 50 coolest things we saw that year.
Yeah, I'd ask you to stop because it's really depressing for those of us who work in regular places.
Yeah, if you're in a beige office, this might sadden you a little bit. Yours is blue.
Cool.
It's blue in here. Where I am, it's beige.
The Allstate Showcase Studio, very, very vibrant and all. But yeah, some really cool stuff with... I noticed like murals and things they did with food. I love that Jelly Vision just had a old-fashioned library.
Yeah, they allow new employees to suggest their favorite book, and then the company will buy that book and put it in a library for the company so you can share your favorite read with your new coworkers.
All right, so we don't want to spend too much time describing pictures, but if people want to check out the gallery, which
definitely,
they should.
Definitely, tons of bold art and really cool features at tons of offices, including Pandora, Grubhub, LinkedIn, lots of names you'll recognize.
Where do they find it?
At BlueskyInnovation.com.
BlueskyInnovation.com. Okay,
yep.
So there's another story you guys had about Spot Hero in WageWorks. Now, WageWorks is a company where if you have a CTA bus pass or a Metro pass, you can buy it sort of through them, and then you get, it's a pre-tax discount. They're encouraging people to use mass transportation. Well, now it's being spread to, first of all, I didn't realize you could use it for parking. Now they're partnering with Spot Hero. Explain that for me.
Yes, you can use generally your pre-tax commuting benefits for parking, and it might be to ride to the train and then park at the train station, or it could be just to drive to a parking spot near your job.
Yeah, I don't. So let's do this. I thought the benefit, the tax benefit, was to encourage mass transit.
I do think that's a big part of it because there are things like van pools and things, but I think at this point it's just like a work expense almost.
Okay.
If you're commuting to get near your job, that qualifies as part of your commuter pre-tax benefit.
So now if you're one of, what, 100,000 companies or so that works with WageWorks, you can subscribe and use Spot Hero and then get it tax-free, pay tax-free for your parking.
Yeah, so this integration with Spot Hero affects 6.5 million employees, which use WageWorks, which is a huge benefits manager. And it allows you that, you know, once you've signed up for that benefit and you're sort of spending it, this integrates both so that if you use Spot Hero to find a parking spot near your job, the Spot Hero functionality will make sure you're close enough to your job that it's okay to use your pre-tax benefits, basically to be compliant with the IRS rules, to make sure you're using it to actually get to work.
And when I say tax-free, I mean pre-deduction money. So
exactly.
Not necessarily city taxes or things like that, but your federal income tax and all of that, you're not paying it on the money you spend for parking.
Exactly. It allows you, and I mean, this is a good benefit to consider using regardless of whether or not you specifically use Spot Hero.
Right.
But their app is making it a little bit easier to use both at the same time.
That's a little twisted. I'm going to have to look into that because I don't quite get the value of paying someone to drive into the city to park. That doesn't seem to be how it started. You guys also had a piece with Hassan S. Ali, who explain this for me. He does Onion style advertising, or does he work with the Onion, or?
Yeah, he works for the parent company, which,
okay,
of which one of their products is the Onion, which we know and love.
Right,
and so the satirical sort of newspaper.
And the whole idea was to create advertising with a sense of humor, and how he gets motivated and all that. I love this piece.
It's a fun piece. We've been doing a series called Creative Class where we've talked to people at Chicago companies, universities, about how they encourage creativity in their teams or in themselves, right? We all have to be creative, but we're all working super hard. So we just kind of want to know, how do people get in that mind space, or how do they encourage their team to do that? What different techniques do they use?
There's nothing worse, I think, than being in a session and having someone say, okay, now let's get creative.
Yes, and everybody goes, oh, Lord. You know, yeah, it definitely
no can
do. Be a little bit of a groaner. But for that reason, it's kind of fun to see different ways people do it. There's one thing called brainwriting, and we did a story on that a week or two ago that completely took off this week, which is more about having people brainstorm on paper to get rid of some of the things we all hate about group brainstorming. And this week, Hassan Ali from The Onion, where they, you know, obviously they're always doing super creative things and trying to kind of bend the rules and do fun stuff. So we kind of asked him, how do they get in that headspace and think of new stuff?
You use the term headspace.
I use the term headspace.
I downloaded that app today.
Because
I did. That's one of the things he recommends, or he uses. And it looks like it's a sort of 10-minute guided meditation sort of this is what you should do on the train kind of thing, headspace.
Yes, our photo editor, Carrie Wigginton, uses that, and she swears by it. So I might need
really?
To join you and download it. It definitely, yeah, just it's one of those, it's sort of almost a meditation, mindfulness kind of thing.
I'll tell you what, next Friday, let's just meditate together during
that.
This time. But he also talks about rap music, so how do those go together?
Yeah, some loud rap music. I think his point is just kind of anything to kind of break that. You know, you kind of need a tool
to
break
out.
Down from
right.
the nose to the grindstone feeling. So rap music is another one, looking at cat videos. So he just shares like how they, and also on a slightly more serious note, he kind of defines what makes something humorous or how they get there. And he talks about just things that are relatable.
I love this. So he said, you know, what's funny? They found that to be funny, you have to find something that is relatable to people.
Exactly.
So what is relatable? And then he said they have like a mnemonic that explains it.
Yep. So it's Ford, F-O-R-D, which stands for family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. Idea being you can kind of get people where they live mentally if you go to one of those areas.
So stick with Ford if you're writing jokes or trying to relate to people.
Everybody's going to get a family joke or a joke about your job. So I think it's looking for those areas that really touch everybody.
Andrea Haynes is the editor of Blue Sky Innovation Tribune. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
What's in the Red Eye this week?
So Red Eye has a cover that everyone might love, which is bars that are serving from dawn to dusk. So it's bars that have really great coffee and or really great cocktails at all hours of the day.
Actually, that's good. And so they're not open all night. So they're daytime bars.
Yep.
So
yes,
dawn.
You can get
so
a
means...
cocktail earlier than you might think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll meet you there
a
afternoon.
A nice fancy cocktail. Yep.
That's Andrea Haynes. Thanks for coming by. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
We will talk with Adam Oxtein coming up. One of the themes we've sort of touched on in the past few weeks has been this automation of hiring, you know, that there's software that looks at your resume rather than people. We'll talk to Adam about that coming up. It's 12:23. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Kind of funny, we were just talking about the mnemonic of Ford when it comes to finding things relatable when you're being creative, because a little bit later in the show, we will talk to Jim Graham. He's the Global Director of Driving Skills for Life at Ford, and he's talking about teen driving, some things that they've instituted specifically down in Tazewell County and then expanded around the state as we move into the summer driving season, which is often a dangerous season for kids. Speaking of dangerous, Adam Oxtein is in the studio, the founder, CEO of StratX, and he comes by from time to time. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
So I was talking to Tom Gimbel last week about
this. Uh-oh.
I know. I apologize for that right away. You know, about automation when it comes to hiring now, that you can, you know, we were joking like it used to decide what sort of stationery to put your resume on, whether it's a linen or
the font
and all of this. But now they're sort of feeding these things into the shredder, if you will, and pulling out keywords and all of that to where maybe the human touch doesn't matter. And as I understand, you're one of the guys responsible for that.
Yeah, just blame me for all the artificial intelligence in the world.
Well, how about it? How human is hiring, and how non-human is hiring?
It's still an art form, right? So the parts that can be automated are the ones that are highly administrative. So actually collecting of the resumes and dispersing them and for them, vacation requests. You know, I remember my first job, I had literally a ream of paper. My hand was sore filling out the new hire paperwork.
Okay, yeah.
Now, as a millennial joins an organization and they have a stack of paperwork, they look at the company as a reflection of, this is the Stone Age.
It's an old-fashioned company.
Why am I filling out all this paperwork?
All right, so the automation then, I'm having a hard time with that word. That you're saying then that has to do with the stuff that happens to everyone, not necessarily the creative or unique parts of a resume.
Absolutely. So it's, you know, really through that employee life cycle, it starts with recruitment. You know, everyone uses these new terms, not new hire, onboarding, you know.
Right.
Onboarding and offboarding, we have to be politically correct. I used to call it hire and fire.
Right. Well, we should talk about offboarding sometime.
We should.
So when you are advising people or creating these things for someone to get a job or to get someone's attention, say I'm filling out resumes trying to get someone's attention, I shouldn't worry that what I'm writing is going to be lost in a machine somewhere? I mean, what about those keywords, the things that they pull?
It shouldn't be lost in the machine. Now what organizations are doing, you know, first of all, the whole notion of me filling out and having a cover letter.
No one does cover letters anymore, right?
No one does cover letters anymore. So it's my LinkedIn profile, and now you're starting to see specialization of LinkedIn for different industries. Like the restaurant space has a handful of sites that have a LinkedIn-type social network recruiting site,
right,
and all these other industries are getting really specialized. Where LinkedIn's still a good job market, you don't have a resume or cover letter on LinkedIn. It's all who I'm connected to and the... You know, how I present myself to the world.
All right, so tell me that again. If I know that someone is interested in hiring someone and I don't have a personal connection there, are you saying that I should send them my LinkedIn connection rather than a formal resume and a cover letter?
Well, a lot of organizations now are asking you to send LinkedIn profiles or some other format.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I can keep my updated profile online. I can use that as my resume per se to distribute to other organizations.
Right. Do you, when it comes to LinkedIn, do you recommend, this is kind of off the track, but there's this argument about only taking people who you know or people who may benefit, or do you just bring in anyone who asks?
Well, anyone who sends me an invite on LinkedIn, I can pretty quickly ascertain whether or not they're trying to sell me something or they're trying to make a bona fide general connection. So my rule of thumb is if someone's going to try to sell me something, chances are I'm just going to hit decline and not accept it.
So this afternoon, if I send you an invitation?
I would accept it in a second.
Adam Oxton.
I would swipe right.
Look, I'm not sure I like that idea. Guy behind Stratex, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. It is a Friday afternoon, and hope you have a great weekend ahead of you. It looks like it'll be a stormy, a little bit rainy, but well, maybe it's a good weekend to go shopping for domain names. Illinois.com is on the market. Now, we're going to talk to Lou Weisbach here about the purchase of it, the availability of it, and they point to LasVegas.com, which I think more than 10 years ago was sold for $90 million. A guy named Josh Metnick bought Illinois.com a long, long time ago, and he's got it up for sale. And the guy he's got selling it is Lou Weisbach, who's on a phone line now. Lou, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure being with you.
All right, so, you know, when I hear the name Lou Weisbach, I typically think of presidents going to visit and things like that, right?
That's true. That's part of it.
To be sure.
Things have changed a little bit, I think, since then, right?
I think they probably have, but how is it that you now are in this position or that Josh reached out to you to sell this?
Well, my whole career, you know, outside of my involvement in politics and in healthcare, my whole career has been in marketing. And so I started with Halo and have recently started another company, very similar to Halo, that sells promotional products, but also is in the marketing services business. And Josh reached out to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, would I be interested in handling the sale of Illinois.com for him? And I've known Josh for a long time. He's a terrific guy. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized that this was an incredibly valuable asset and that there was an opportunity to do something unique in terms of marketing this particular opportunity. So I gladly accepted. And it's been 3 fascinating weeks for me because I've learned so much, and probably not unlike most people who think about domains and don't have a real understanding of the value of domains, learned a lot about what the incredible value of these properties are. And they're really very much like real estate when you sit back and think about it.
The company that you're talking about, you're involved with now, is Merch Time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, just wanted to get that name out there for you, Lou.
But
tell me about Josh, because was it in 1995 when these things were free that He just registered all. I mean, he was the guy thinking ahead. Is that how all that works?
So Josh was one of those visionary guys that were guys that you and I wished we had been.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
When we, the two of us were probably looking at the internet and saying, what the hell is this? You know, this is a flash in the pan. It's going to go away. And he was thinking about what the opportunity was. And so he bought lots of domains, and included among them were Chicago.com, which he sold, and also Guitar.com, which he sold to Paul Allen, the owner of, from Microsoft and the owner of the Seattle Seahawks. But he still retains thousands of those properties.
And so what made him move to sell Illinois.com at this time?
The rationale really is pretty simple. From a historical perspective, the major domains are worth more than they've ever been. And when you think about this particular one, it's got some characteristics going for it that above and beyond what the domains do around the country. Number one, and a lot of things that, again, I've never thought about, you probably haven't either, with what's going on right now with hacking. If Steve, your email address was steve.at illinois.com.
Right.
And somebody tried to hack you, it would be almost impossible for them to do it. If your address was steve@gmail.com or at, any of the other typical ones like yahoo.com or comcast.com, the people trying to hack you know exactly how to get to you. So that's one reason why this has really interesting intrinsic value if you're trying to build up cash flow. Additionally, if you look at what LasVegas.com sold for at $90 million, 43 million visitors go to Vegas a year, and 111 million come to Illinois. So almost more than 2.5 times the number of visitors. And LasVegas.com is monetized partly by selling travel to Las Vegas, and the people who own the asset get money back from the hotels in Las Vegas, for example. That's one of their ways of doing it. So obviously you can do the same thing in Illinois. In addition to that, you can use Illinois.com for more cash flow let's say you're in real estate, you could have realestate.chicago.goldcoast.illinois.com. There's thousands of iterations for all industries that you would own by owning Illinois.com.
Okay, but Lou, here's my thing, and I get that about, I didn't realize or know about the security part of it. I understand that. But,
sure.
You know, if I'm going to Las Vegas and I want to find things to do in Las Vegas, I'm going to enter a Google search or New York City or Paris or whatever. The actual domain name, I'm not going to start with LasVegas.com. I might do a Google search and that's what comes up. So do these domain names have as much value as they did before people started just Googling everything?
Well, so the trick of the monetization of Illinois.com, to the extent that you don't go to Illinois.com to the point that you're making, is that you link it to travel, to .illinois.com, to airfare, to hotels.illinois.com. So if you're looking for generic hotels in Illinois, you would also, the search engine would take you there as well.
I see. Okay, so we started talking about political fundraising, and there are some deep pockets in the race for governor this year, deeper than ever. Are the candidates for governor, whether it's Pritzker or Kennedy or Rauner or anyone donating to them, are those guys who you think might be potential buyers for this domain name?
I certainly would, and certainly if I were a candidate, I would. But think about it this way. There's a dual reason why one of them or all of them would want to own it. It's one thing to want to own the asset because it can really help you in your campaign, and you can put out your policies at that site. You can raise money through that site. But additionally to that, and sometimes more to the point, do you really want your opponents to own it?
So buy it defensively.
You buy it defensively. And think about it this way. If Hillary Clinton, for example, had retained David Axelrod when she ran, not this last time, but the first time in the primary against Barack Obama, she, for whatever reason, decided that she didn't need to have David, even though David knew everything about her and knew all the innermost secrets of, of the Clintons. And David Axelrod, as you remember, went to Barack Obama's camp. And ultimately, if not for that, perhaps Hillary Clinton wins the primary. So say, if you think about this in the Illinois gubernatorial race in those terms, I don't know that any of them can afford not to own it. But having said that, the market will answer that question for us.
All right, so tell me quickly the time frame here and what you hope to bring in.
So time frame, it's open-ended, and we really don't have – there's obviously, in the last couple of days since we announced this, there have been numbers thrown out in the media. We don't have a specific number in mind, but just analytically, if you think about what other sites have gone for, including Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which sold for $6.5 million, Las Vegas at $90 million, you know, what is Illinois.com worth? So the market will tell us, but we're getting tremendous interest, especially from people in the travel industry, looking at the Las Vegas model and thinking of how significant this is. And last point I would make to that question is that Warren Buffett recently bought Buffalo, now owns Buffalo.com. So I'd say Warren's pretty smart money.
It's smart money, right. I thought you were going to say Warren owned Buffalo. Lou Weisbach, great to talk to you. I hope we can do it again. Let me know how it goes.
I will. Nice talking to you again.
You bet. All right. Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson, Kim Gordon, and Jim Ryan as well. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. We're entering the summer driving season. I know that Ryan Burrow has been talking to AAA, and there are stories about that, about the, you know, people who are driving here or there when it comes to Memorial Day. But the fact is, too, kids are out driving. Teenagers are out driving more than usual. Younger college students are home. They're out driving as well. And it tends to be a dangerous time for teenagers. I think something like I saw a statistic that fatal accidents or something to that effect are up like 16% during the the chances of a teen dying, the number of them dying from car crashes up 16%. During sort of the summer travel time. Well, Ford tried a few years ago to do something about that. Jim Graham is the global director of driving skills for life at Ford, and they had some success downstate. They've spread it around the state, and yeah, I thought it'd be a good time to check in with him now. Jim, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, so I know you were downstate in Tazewell County a week or two ago talking about this program. So let's just start there. I think it was in 2015, that county in particular was hit with a number of teenage deaths. And so Ford moved in there with the pilot program to see if they could help. What is the pilot program and what were the results?
Well, we actually developed a program, and actually it was in 2005 and 2006. Tazewell County lost 15 teens in 15 months. So Ford and our Ford Driving Skills for Life program joined Tazewell County and the Illinois Department of Transportation and did a program in that county, which ultimately was spread across the state, called Operation Teen Safe Driving. And it did in-school programming, and then we did hands-on driving clinics across the state. And as a result, in that county, they've only had just basically one death each year, which is obviously is still too much, but nothing like they had before, and a 50% decline in teen deaths across the state. And so we played a role in that, along with things like improved graduated driver's licensing and right. enforcement, things like that. But we are approaching the 100 deadliest days of driving, and, you know, with, you know, proms, kids getting out of school, summer driving, everybody's excited. You just got to remember that you got to be careful. And if you're a teen or a parent of a teen, make sure they don't have too many kids in the car with them. Make sure they don't drive distracted and really focus on the task at hand.
Well, you know, that's kind of the thing. I mean, if you're a teen and when prom and out used to scare me to death, what can you do at this point other than worry? What can you do to help keep your kids safer?
Well, a couple things. As it relates to distracted driving, you know, make sure that they don't use their cell phone. And you could have a designated person in your car, for example, that could make the calls for you. That's one thing you can do. I would make sure that they don't have multiple passengers in their cars. I mean, they're not supposed to as part of graduated driver's licensing anyway, but make sure that you don't put three or four teens in a car, because that is really the biggest distraction out there. And then nighttime driving obviously can be, you know, a lot of things can happen there. You know, you just got to be really careful with them, and you got to lead by example as a parent. You don't want to speed if you don't want your teen to speed, things like that. So we talk to parents about setting good examples.
Maybe the answer is obvious. We all want to do everything we can to prevent any sort of fatality on the roads. But what is Ford's interest here? Why is it that you've taken this on specifically as a task in Illinois and elsewhere?
Well, we developed the Ford Driving Skills for Life program 14 years ago, and it's developed out of our foundation, which is called the Ford Fund. So it's, everything we do is free. There's no cost, not about selling vehicles. But if you look at the leading cause of death of teens is vehicle crashes, and there's been progress made over the last 10 years. It's been cut in about half, but there's still about 4,000 teens a year in the U.S. being killed. So, you know, as an automaker, we wanted to focus on the young drivers, and we developed this program, and we've been in all 50 states. We're in 40 countries. Just the right thing to do. So we're actually heading up right now to Milwaukee to do a program this weekend. So we go all around the country doing this, and it's basically just to try to give teens a step in the learning process beyond driver's education and give them some additional skills they haven't learned.
Jim Graham, thanks very much for that. Listen, wear a Bears cap in Milwaukee. They love that.
Yes. We're going to be up in Miller Park. Yeah, we're going to be up in Miller Park in Milwaukee this weekend.
Well, good luck with that. Thanks for talking to us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.